I'd like to call this February 26th Board Supervisors Meeting to order. If you could all please stand, I'm going to ask Supervisor DeMartini to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to start with a presentation, an employee service award, and presenting today will be Jeff Rowe from the Alliance WorkNet.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, CEO Neal, and Mr. Doring. It's my pleasure to present to you Cindy Shaw for recognition of her 35 years of service with Stanislaus County. Cindy began working for the county as a typist clerk 3 in November of 1977 for what was then the County Welfare Department. Personally, I think this must have been part of a junior high school internship program. Look how young she is. She must have been about 14 when she started, I figure. In 1980, she transferred to what was then the Department of Employment and Training, and she earned promotions along the way, eventually working her way up to the Confidential Assistant 3 classification that she holds today. She spent her entire adult life as an employee of Stanislaus County, raising her children and helping to raise her grandchildren along the way. Cindy is well-liked by her coworkers, and this is not due solely to the fact that she's our payroll clerk and makes sure that everybody gets their paychecks biweekly. She is really depended on by staff as a steady source of experience and expertise for the department. She's really been a calming influence over the years when times have been turbulent for us, and I really appreciate that of her. Cindy's very devoted to her family, her church, the San Francisco Giants and the San Francisco 49ers, not necessarily in that order. I know her children and grandchildren are proud of her, and she has some family here today. They're proud of all of her accomplishments in her career and her life, and I'm truly grateful for all of the efforts, all of her efforts on behalf of the department. So I will present to you Cindy Shaw.
Good morning.
Wow, you are young.
Really? That's it. Well, I have the opportunity all the time when I'm out in the community talking to folks about the commitment of our employees, and this is just another great show of the commitment of our employees to Stanislaus County and to the essentially the betterment of it. I can speak on behalf of the board, I know I can, on how proud we are that you've stuck with us. And by what Mr. Rowe said, I can tell you you're definitely committed to your department also. I've also heard you just recently became a great-grandmother. Is that true? It is. That is a great thing. And now you'll have plenty of things. But maybe you'd like to comment, introduce some of your family who are here.
And my sister Kathy is here and her husband Galen King. Galen is a former employee of Stanislaus County also. And so is Kathy. It's been a great ride. I've had a lot of fun. There's been bad times and good times, as always happens. But more good times, and I'm really happy I'm still here.
We are too. So thank you very much on behalf of Stanislaus County and the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to have another presentation, and this is a commendation for Gary Casseri, our Ag Commissioner, who is retiring, I think, in a couple of days,
yes.
March 1st. Monica.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doering, Monica Nino, the county CEO. I am honored this morning to have this opportunity to recognize Gary Casseri, the county's agricultural commissioner, upon his pending retirement from Stanislaus County. Gary grew up in the rural west side of Stanislaus County, and his agricultural career eventually led him to the mountain county of Tuolumne. However, he yearned to return to the valley and to work where agriculture was a primary focus. As fate would have it, Gary returned to the county where it all started, Stanislaus. At Gary's philosophical core is a desire to help. Help the agricultural and business industries and the communities that they serve. He began his career in Merced County in 1978, starting as an agricultural biologist and worked his way up, eventually serving as Deputy Ag Commissioner. In 1989, he promoted to Assistant Agricultural Commissioner and Filler of Weights and Measures. In 2001, Gary accepted the position of Agricultural Commissioner and Filler of Weights and Measures in Tuolumne County. Gary came to Stanislaus County with over 30 years of experience from Tuolumne and Merced counties. And on March 31st, 2008, Gary was appointed to the position of Agricultural Commissioner and Filler of Weights and Measures by the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. With his extensive background, Gary is familiar with all facets of both agriculture and weights and measures, along with the collective history of the Agricultural Commissioner Association. He brought strength in budget issues, along with detailed insect knowledge, including pesticides, laws, and regulations. Gary's experience, coupled with his strong relationship with farmers and the business community, and the state and federal and county agencies, have culminated and a good fortune for Stanislaus County. Through Gary's leadership, our agricultural department refocused their efforts on core programs and sought to improve each of them using better processes, embracing technology, and applying a common sense attitude to getting the job done. This is reflected in his ability to assist the industry in compliance and cutting through the red tape to focus on what is important, the ABCs. Protecting agriculture, business, and the community. Gary's leadership has been one of consensus building and coming to agreement, always asking of his staff and himself, how can we best get the task at hand accomplished? He is known to be fair-minded and has forged creative ways to bring about compliance. Gary has reached out to industry to help make laws and regulations easier to understand and accessible. Under his guidance, the department has developed a quick reference guide to help growers understand complicated pesticide regulations. He was only the second ag commissioner in the state to reach out to maintenance gardeners, providing training in both Spanish and English to assist in obtaining proper licensing to help ensure pesticide application in residential and industrial settings where they could be conducted safely. Gary helped start the first grower-led spray safe workshop designed to help growers communicate with one another and apply agricultural chemicals in a safer, more secure manner. Gary is an avid hunter, although his staff tells me that they have yet to see a prized deer after one of his annual hunting trips to the Idaho backcountry, and I have yet to see one mounted on his wall in his office. Agriculture includes a wide range of seasonal activities from early planting to late harvest. Gary uses these seasons to honor and motivate his staff each year with a spring breakfast and a fall luncheon. These events include safety topics, introduction to seasonal extra help staff, service awards, and of course, a community batch of Gary's mean pot of beans, which staff are already beginning to miss. During his last 5 years, I've appreciated Gary's leadership and his direction, his passion for promoting and protecting our local agricultural industry. Gary's knowledge and experience have supported and encouraged economic health for one of our most important industries, agriculture. It is with mixed emotions and only the best wishes that we say goodbye to Gary Casseri. Thank you, Gary, for all that you have contributed, for the differences that you have made for the employees in the community of Stanislaus County. Here's hoping only safe journeys for you upon your retirement. From all of us, go safe, stay strong, and thank you. Gary Casseri.
First, I want a hug. Yeah. It's funny, there's only two people smiling in this room right now. And one is Gary, because he's retiring on his own terms. And the second is the guy who's replacing him, Milton O'Hare. Got a big old grin over there. So, congratulations to you, Milton. I guess 37 years, and we got you, 36, and we got you in your best years. I had the pleasure of being able to work with Commissioner Casseri up in Tuolumne County when I was on the Farm Bureau Board, and I was very pleased when you chose to come down here to Stanislaus. I wasn't a part of that decision. I wasn't on the board yet, but I know everyone has been tickled with the work you've done. As Monica was talking about you, one word stuck out, and I always try and think of one word when I talk about people, what comes to mind. First thought, and that's fair. We have the economic engine of Stanislaus County here with agriculture, and you've taken a fair approach with everyone, trying to bring them into compliance with the carrot rather than the stick. I know there's different options available to you out there, and you've always been fair. That's why you were loved in Merced. That's why you were loved in Tuolumne, and that's why you're going to retire here, being loved by this board. So on behalf of the board, I do have a resolution. We also have something else for you, a clock. To commemorate your years here, you can hold that up, Vanna. And the resolution states much of what Monica just talked about, but his contribution to not just Stanislaus County, but to the state of California, and trying to bring people into compliance. So, and one last thing, I did hear that Congressman Denham is going to read into the congressional record. You will be getting that. That's something else besides your clock and your resolution. So. Thank you again for everything you've done.
Thank you, Vito. It's been a great career, and as was already mentioned, it was a real pleasure being able to come back for my last 5 years here in my home county of Stanislaus, having grown up in Newman. I'm going to miss a lot of things. There's a few things I'm not going to miss. After 36 years in the regulatory field, I've had enough of that part. So I want to thank the board, CEO Monica Nino, the admin staff, department heads, all the county employees I've worked with over the last 5 years, certainly the wonderful staff out at the County Ag Commissioner's Office, a really good crew out there. A few of them are here today. And as I said, I'm going to miss a lot, but I've got a long list of things to do. And I'm looking forward to getting started on that, the least of which is to enjoy my new granddaughter and work on my much-needed golf game. So with that, thanks again. I really appreciate it. I'm going to miss everyone, but I am looking forward to retirement. Thank you.
Okay, now's the opportunity in the agenda for public comment, and try and maintain to 5 minutes if you have anything to say. And would anyone like to come forward during public comment? Seeing none, we will move on to the consent calendar. We are going to take B9 separately because someone has a conflict. the agenda, the consent calendar is marked with an asterisk. Agenda items A through 1 through 7, B 1 through 7 plus, 1 through 8. And I think we have a comment on B 6.
Mr. Chairman, item B 6, I am in support of this today. Just want to make a little bit of comment on that. When we built the sheriff facility out there, Public Safety Center on Hackett, we built a kitchen that could supply food and meals to every facility that we had. And this was years ago. Different CEO, different administration, different sheriff, different board of supervisors. As we look at this, I think there's two things to look at. One, we either look at contracting with the sheriff's department to provide these meals, or two, now with our new facility we're going to have at probation, with the new culinary kitchen that's being put in place, both to provide life skills to our youth out there, or even career opportunities. They may look at producing their meals themselves. So I think we should look at that, but I fully support extending this contract till the end of the year to give us time to look at some options, but I think we need to explore our options and not just go straight out to RFP.
Fair enough. Any comments or anyone want to pull any items? No? Anyone from the audience want to pull any of the consent items? All right, seeing none, I will take a motion for the consent calendar minus B9.
So moved.
It's been moved.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Any excuse? Mr. Withrow? Let the record show that Supervisor Withrow has left the dais. Do I have a motion on item B9?
Move for approval.
Move for approval by Supervisor DeMartini.
Second.
Second by Supervisor O'Brien. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. We will be moving on to item B10. Which is approval of actions necessary to complete and occupy the new juvenile commitment facility constructed pursuant SB 81. And Patricia L. Thomas and Probation Chief Silva will present. And I will also note this requires a 4/5 vote per action.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm thrilled to be here today. We are smiling as well. It is definitely a great day in our neighborhood as we bring to you recommendations to transition to our new juvenile commitment center. Before I get into the PowerPoint, if you would allow me just a moment. It's not often I can get a construction manager out of the field and into the boardroom. I want to do a few thank yous. I want to start with Mr. Gino Colaccia. Gino, where'd you go? This gentleman has done a phenomenal job leading a team in the field that is composed of Rick Rodriguez, Elsa Biedenway, and Gino's work, along with Matt Innes, a new project engineer on our team, has been superb. The construction team of Robolin Inc. has done a quality job. And this project, and I'll say it probably about 44,000 more times in the next couple of months, is not only on time, it's substantially under budget. So I wanted to start with a thank you, and thank you to Mr. Palaccia, because he definitely had a great deal to do with making this dream come true. But like anything we do in the county, it's about a team effort. I want to especially thank the Capital Projects team members, Tim Fedorchuk with me here at the table this morning, Mark Lozier, Cindy Tomlinson, Norma Baker, Teresa Vanderveen, Leticia Lamelli, and Josh Ewan. This has been a hard one, start to finish. There are more people watching this than probably watch the Academy Awards, I'm certain, at the various state levels. And you can't have a good team without having a good customer who becomes your partner from day one. You'll remember Jerry Powers and I sitting in this room, and Jill Silva sitting with us, trying to convince you that doing a deal in these economic times with the state of California, where we front all the money and we take all the risk, was a deal worth doing. today we're pleased to tell you it was a deal worth doing. I'd like to thank Jill Silva. She's been on this from the beginning. She is our chief probation officer now. We'd like to thank Jerry Powers. He was instrumental in getting these dollars to Stanislaus County. And I am so pleased to see the probation team here this morning. Mike Hamasaki, Natasha, if I'm not sure Natasha made it, Dave Camilio, Harry Percy, Leticia Ronu, Duvon Fier, I don't think Duvon made it this morning, Eric McLaughlin, and Steve Jackson. Thank you. You are really a great partner, a great team. It is a lot of work to get here, so I appreciate just a little extra time to indulge me as the project manager to recognize what has been truly an amazing effort. At times we thought we would never see this day, so relishing it for the moment is good. And on behalf of myself, I'd like to thank your Board of Supervisors. You've all been involved in this project to some extent. You have the courage to see beyond the risk with the state of California and to seek to become the first county in California to not only start but now finish a juvenile commitment center project under the juvenile realignment of several years ago. And we thank you for your leadership and your courage, and we hope you enjoy over these next couple of months the completion and occupancy of what is truly going to be a great resource in our juvenile justice system delivery model. You know this project fairly well, so I'll be quick. It's 60 beds. You're going to see it again this afternoon. It's adjacent to the existing juvenile hall. There are two housing units, a 30-bed and 215, a multi-purpose visitation area, and as Supervisor Bryan noted already this morning, a culinary classroom kitchen facility along with central control. This picture will there it is, the big one. Substantial completion, right on time, February 11th. We are thrilled. The state of California is thrilled. They're so thrilled that they've decided to sell the bonds early, and they are essentially nearing the end of the bond sale on the first ever state-county lease revenue project. And that is also a significant accomplishment for the state of California as well as the county. I love this picture. You'll see yourselves in there. Most of you, if I think all the board members, definitely. And this is a picture that reminds you how time flies. And you know, it flies whether you're having fun or not. Today is a good day to look back, because that seemed like yesterday to me. I don't know to you, but that was in October of 2011. And today, the facility is complete. It's remarkably done, beautifully designed by the Lyonakis team out of Sacramento. The quality of the work here, extraordinary. The state officials, the state fire marshal, the local officials just marvel at the innovative design approach and the construction techniques used here to deliver this project. Again, the first one in the state. There's only one other project initiated underway in the state of California 6 years after the juvenile justice realignment was implemented. I want to talk about money a little bit. This doesn't really show the whole picture, but this is the current picture. This project started out as a $24.2 million project. As a result, it was $18 million in a grant award to Stanislaus County. As a result of the design and really the economy, a great time to bid a project. We were able to, after bid, reduce this project to a $22.7 million project. The reality is that when it is done, this project will be $2.3 million under the original budget, $2.3 million. Regrettably, because of the way SB 81 is formed, that savings will return back to the state. But the reality is that it's governmental savings for a project completed well under the budget scope. We have shown you this task list. We take pride in capital projects. I'm not going to read it to you because it's the longest one. But the cool thing about this list, it starts and it finishes. You'll see that our occupancy and commission that Chief Civil will speak to you about in a moment will be complete by June 28, 2013. Your board agreed with the state of California to occupy the facility within 90 days of final completion. The final completion date is March 28, 2013. Although when you see it today, you'll see that it is quite complete. So with that, it is really my pleasure to ask our Chief Probation Officer, Jill Silva, to come forward.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Mr. Doring, Ms. Nino. I have to echo the comments of Patty. You know, it feels like forever and a day since we started this project back in 2008. And it started out really as a collaborative project, and it has been that way since day one. And we have a great team of people, starting with capital projects and the probation team and all of the contracted people that have been involved. It's a great facility. We're so anxious for you to be able to tour it today. We started out with this project saying we really wanted it to be a building that we could be proud of, and it is a facility that we can be proud of, and I think it will be worthy of praise for years to come. So what you have in front of you is the layout of the facility, and our new, and Patty highlighted some of this in her portion of the presentation, but it does include a kitchen that will support our food preparation for the existing juvenile hall, for the new 60-bed facility, and for the full capacity filled out. And, you know, I hear your comments, Supervisor O'Brien. I think we have now, you know, another 10 months for us to really seriously look at being able to provide our own services, because it's a beautiful kitchen. When you tour it today, you'll see that we really are going to have additional capacity and some additional abilities, and maybe we can save the county some funding by being able to run our own program. We do have the culinary classroom that's adjacent to the kitchen for our vocational programming, and we're in the process of working with our county office of education to develop a regional occupational program for our culinary arts. So that will also give us some cost savings by partnering with the school district. The facility also includes a multi-purpose room that will function as our visitor center for both facilities. This is also going to assist our juvenile hall in reducing our exposures to contraband, because we are no longer going to be allowing visitors to go into the living units at juvenile hall, with the exception of our maximum security units where there's no contact visiting. The facility contains three living units. There's a 30-bed unit and two 15-bed units. And then we will also, at the far end, we have four classrooms that are separate from the living units. We have a central control area and an administrative area. Thank you, Tim. You're doing a great job of pointing those out. And then finally, our facility does contain two programming rooms that are going to provide us with the necessary space for our vocational and treatment services. The next slide provides kind of our transition plan schedule. We are in the final stages of updating our policies and procedures for the new facility, and we anticipate submitting those documents to the state next month so that we can ensure that we comply with the minimum standards for juvenile facilities that are governed by Title 15 of the California Code of Regulations. And next month we will finalize our training with county maintenance staff so that they are familiar with the infrastructure systems of our facility, and then we will be making our final purchases for the remaining furniture, fixtures, and equipment. During April, probation staff will conduct a thorough safety and security evaluation. This process will assist us in identifying any possible security concerns related to housing, internal and external door security, security electronics, and common access areas. In May, we will identify our own staff to be assigned to the new facility, and we'll begin our training and orientation process for those staff, as well as our partnering agencies, which include medical, education, mental health, and nutrition. Examples of our orientation and training include such topics as layout of the building, emergency procedures, panic buttons, card key operations, and facility entrance and exit doors. And our internal staff will be oriented to hallway movement, staff placement, radio procedures, fire suppression, and shutoff locations. So it'll take us a good month for us to complete the orientation and processing. During May, we will also begin our ward classification review to identify potential candidates to be transferred to the new facility. Like the juvenile hall, the three living units contain a mixture of single, double, and dormitory-style room arrangements. In identifying appropriate youth for placement in the facility, staff will look at factors such as age, criminal history, maturity, and programming needs. And during this month, our kitchen staff will begin to prepare a series of meals for the juvenile hall prior to occupying the new facility. This will allow our kitchen staff to adjust to their new environment and work out any issues prior to the actual opening of the facility. And then in June, we will begin the process of reducing the population in the juvenile hall and occupying the new facility. Just to show you how we plan on reducing the population, historically, our court committed or sentenced youth have accounted from anywhere from one-third to nearly half of the daily population in the existing juvenile hall. And it's anticipated with the opening of the new facility that our average daily population in juvenile hall can be reduced somewhere between 45 and 60 juveniles. Beginning on June 1st, Unit 3 within the existing juvenile hall will close, and we will transition up to 30 court-committed males along with the associated staff to the new commitment facility, and they will be housed in Unit C, the largest unit at the top. Then on June 28th, our female youth will be transferred out of Unit 8 within the juvenile hall. This is currently an all-female unit, and we will then transition up to 15 court-committed females along with the associated staff and move them into Unit A in the new facility. The remainder of the detained females and those that are not suitable for the commitment facility will then transfer to Unit 2 within the juvenile hall. This is a 10-bed unit that we have previously closed due to the low population in juvenile hall. Then also on June 28th, Unit 4, our other large unit in juvenile hall, will be closed. Up to 15 court-committed males and the associated staff will then transfer to Unit B, which was the remaining unoccupied 15-bed unit in the new facility. The non-court committed males and those not suitable for the commitment facility will then be moved into Unit 8, which previously housed the female population. And in case you're wondering, both Units 3 and 4 are 38-bed units within the juvenile hall. The next slide, please. So our staffing ratios for the new commitment facility are 15 to 1 compared to staffing ratios for the juvenile hall of 10 to 1. Resulting efficiencies in staffing of the new facility will allow our department to open and occupy the new facility with less staff than is needed to operate the juvenile hall. We will, however, need some additional supervisory and support positions in order to operate the facility. The chart in front of you reflects our staffing impacts. A total of 13 positions are required to operate the new 60-bed facility 24 hours, 7 days a week. These positions are offset with the 28 positions gained from the closure of Units 3 and 4 within the juvenile hall. With this agenda item, we will be requesting the addition of 6 new positions and the deletion of 2 positions that are no longer necessary. It's anticipated that the net cost for the 4 positions and other operational expenses will be a little more than $732,000 for the remainder of this current fiscal year. Of this amount, nearly $613,000 will be covered with a transfer of existing appropriations from the juvenile hall institution's budget. The remaining $119,000 will be funded through our Youthful Offender Block Grant funding. We call it YOBG. So YOBG has a positive fund balance of more than $4 million. And as we have previously advised this board, we have been very conservative in our use of YOBG funds, because we knew that we were going to have to rely on those funds to be able to operate two facilities. The annual cost to operate the new juvenile commitment facility is estimated to be $3.7 million. Of these costs, nearly $480,000 are associated with the additional 4 positions. The $3.7 million will be funded through a transfer of existing juvenile hall institution funds, YOBG funds, and also juvenile probation and camps funding, which we will now be eligible for by running a commitment facility. The probation department is requesting a new legal budget to assist in the management of our budgets, as well as to enable the department to more efficiently track and report operational costs by facility. And this concludes my portion. I'll turn it back over to Patty, but I'll be available after her presentation for questions.
Thank you, Jim.
We still have a few things to do to really wrap this one up. One is to initiate the audit required under the agreement between the Board of Supervisors and the State of California. The project budget includes $10,000 for this independent audit effort. Our auditor controller and her staff have already initiated who will complete the audit, and that work will begin immediately. And then, for sure, a dedication for the community to enjoy the completion of this facility, for the state and county to recognize the importance of their partnership on this and future efforts. Staff is asking your approval today to hold an appropriate public dedication ceremony in the spring. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, we have 7 recommendations for you this morning. To approve the recommended actions necessary to complete and occupy the new facility, to approve the probation department transition plan for the new facility, to amend the salary and position allocation resolution as laid out by Chief Silva, to direct the auditor controller to establish the new operating budget for the commitment center using the youthful offender block grant funds dedicated as outlined by Chief Silva in her recommendations, to authorize myself to coordinate with the auditor and controller the initiation of the required audit, and to plan and conduct the appropriate dedication ceremonies. We thank you for the opportunity to have presented this to you this morning. There's a picture of the beautiful outside of the multi-purpose room, and all of us would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions? Supervisor O'Brien.
Just one quick question, but first of all, congratulations on this. It's a job well done. Just one quick question on the new funding that's going to be available. How much will that be annually of that $1 million gap that we're looking at?
We aren't really certain how much camp funding we will get. There is a pot of money, and what happens is the state divvies that up based on the number of commitment facilities throughout the state. So we have not been told what our portion is yet. But again, the allocation that we get from Youthful Offender Block Grant funding, we've built up a balance of about $4 million, but we did an annual allocation also that ranges anywhere from $800,000 to about $1 million per year. So that is going to help us get there. And you know, with $4 million, we may be spending $200,000 about every year just trying to get us to fill the gap.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? I guess I have a comment. I'm very pleased to see the probation leadership team here today. You should be very proud of everything you've accomplished here. The capital projects, again, continue to kick butt, for lack of a better word. Gino, I'm going to have you on every single capital project out there, keeping things under budget. To Chief Probation Officer Silva, great job. You're following. I remember 4 years ago when I was first on this board, jumping on a bus. I think Supervisor Monteith, I think, and Supervisor Grover, yourself, and we all went up to Sacramento and presented. And they did a great job. I was very proud, my 1 month into my term, I was very proud of the presentation we had put forward. And here it is, 4 years later, we have cement on the ground, a roof overhead. So very proud of you guys, and another great job. And you also have a plan to fund it, to operate it. So great job. Okay, any other comments?
Just real quick, we were just talking about that youthful offender block grant money that we're going to pull from. We're not taking from any other programs. That money right now is not being used for anything else, right?
We are currently supporting juvenile supervision officers with some of that funding. But the plan that we have, we believe that we can continue to support those same positions and the additional 4 positions that will be needed for the facility. Where we run into a problem is when the day comes and we need to reopen beds at Juvenile Hall, if capacity were to, increase. But I think that'll be years down the road.
Okay.
Great, thanks. Okay. Any comments from the audience? If not, I will look for a motion on the 6 staff recommendations.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We have no scheduled matters. So on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the State Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action relative to the practice of falconry.
Referred to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the State Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action relative to the Klamath Committee River Salmon Sport Fishing.
Referred to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a request for the County Registrar or Voters to provide election services to the City of Riverbank to conduct a special municipal election on June 4th, 2013.
Refer to the Clerk, Recorder, Registrar, and Voter, and County Council.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. I want to point out that Riverbank is very well represented here today, Mayor and City Manager, so thank you guys for coming. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? I'm going to give a quick one, and I'm so confused in even giving it, but I came back from a CSAC meeting, which is our state organization, and last week we had one of our quarterly meetings, actually, and we were asked to take action on what is essentially the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, that's going to be implemented January of 2014. So it's quickly approaching, and the question was, do we want a county run or do we want it state run? I see you shaking your head because county run is not an option for us really because we didn't set up a low-income health program. But there's so many unanswered questions, and I realized how over my head I was in this discussion when we started looking at all the definitive marks, because the federal government hasn't actually answered all the questions. The state government hasn't, but we're asked to take a stand 10 months early. And so what had happened, and also the governor wants to expand Medicaid. So one of the questions that comes up is that the federal poverty rate is 138%. Medicaid eligibility is 138% of the federal poverty rate. Stanislaus County is at 223% due to a lawsuit. So we're trying to get the counties to harmonize, which is like trying to herd cats. When we talk about the governor's plan, if there's a state-run organization, he either wants to sweep 91 realignment, or he wants us to take on added responsibilities such as daycare, childcare, possibly in-home supportive services. And if we go to a county-based, which we're not set up for, trying to get it up and operating would be nearly impossible. The federal government is going to fund 100% of this for 3 years, but after that it goes, it's prorated until it gets to 90% over the next 3 years. Risks, just like anything else, will revenues match responsibility? Will this become another unfunded mandate? What do we do about liability from court cases, future state and federal legislation, and how do we harmonize all the counties? It is coming quickly, and I've been spending maybe 3 or 4 hours on this, and I'm just more confused, just so everyone knows that. I freely admit that. Just because you can ask a question and everyone shrugs their shoulders because they're not sure where we're headed. So stay tuned. I will try and give updates as I know, or else maybe we'll have Marianne give an update. She understands a little better as we move forward, but no action was taken at CSAC, realizing how complicated it was, but I think within the next 30 days something will happen. Supervisor Withrow.
Just real quick, I should have said this before you got into that. We had a good meeting last Friday at Farm Bureau, actually, regarding groundwater ordinance. Myself and Supervisor DeMartini met with a group of the water agencies. This is something that we've been working on for years here. And by the time we were done with this meeting, I think we had some consensus, and it looked like we were heading towards the direction we're going to get something out of this. We're going to end up with an ordinance here that's going to work for everybody. But I appreciate all the agencies that were involved and their input, and we still have a lot of work to do, but I think we're making a lot of progress here. So
thank you. We have no legislative fiscal and management report, so maybe we'd like to do the announcement.
I sure will.
That was it? Okay.
Upon conclusion of today's closed session, our Board of Supervisors will be touring the new Juvenile Commitment Center over on Blue Gum Avenue here in Modesto. So thank you.
Yep. And we do have a closed session today, County Council?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We are scheduled to hold a closed session conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation involving two cases pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision A. The first case is County of Colusa et al. Versus Toby Douglas, Sacramento County Superior Court, case number 34-2012-800-1053. The second case is International Fidelity Insurance Company v. Roger Ernst & Associates, Incorporated, County of Stanislaus Superior Court, case number 675-547. And we reasonably expect a report out of closed session on these matters.
Okay, nothing else for the good of the order. This meeting is adjourned.